Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. You know, with old age, my hearing is not as good as before, so I can't hear sometimes. And it's good to be here this morning. Unfortunately, my two children are both sick, and my wife is not feeling well as well. So I hope that I won't spread anything to you. So it's okay if you want to stay behind, the first row, okay? And so let's have a word of prayer before I start sharing the word of God together this morning. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come together to worship you this morning. It is because of your love and your grace that we can come. And so we come before you, waiting on you to speak to us this morning. May your Holy Spirit guide us as we speak and as we listen. May your word once again touch our heart, and so we can respond to you and respond to your call. We commit the following time into your hand because we pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I think since last time I was here, there has been a few more babies in the English congregation, right? And I think last time when I was here, Irina haven't given birth yet. And now Parkin and who else? Emerald, yeah, that's right. So it's three new addition to the English congregation. So that's fantastic. And is there anyone expecting as well? I kind of heard that, but I didn't want to. So yeah, congratulations, yes. So it's a wonderful time as we are expecting or when we are having babies and children and so on. And one of the very important tasks for the parents is to look for a name, to pick a name for your child. And I don't know how you guys pick yours. A lot of parents, when they pick, they will search the Bible and to see whether any names from the Bible they like and or any character they like, and then you will use that to for the child. And a lot of the time the name actually have some meaning as well. So they will search for the, do some research and find out the meaning, as well as whether it sounds good or whether it's popular, and also whether it sort of kind of works together with your surname and so on. Because sometimes it doesn't work and it will become really awkward, you know. And so I don't know how you guys pick yours. I remember when I picked Jaden, I actually looked it up, searched in the Bible. And actually, Jaden is from the Bible. Anyone knows where Jaden, which book from the Bible it is? Oh, well, that's a homework for you then, okay? Now, I got a little sort of game here. Do I need to turn it on? Okay. Now, can you recognize these names? All right. Where are they from? From the Old Testament? Well, is Paul from the Old Testament? I think it's both. There's some both Old Testament and New Testament. Now, they are listed in the alphabetical order. Now, I want you to sort of kind of guess, ranking from 1 to 10, whose name has appeared most times in the Bible, mentioned in the Bible most, okay? Now, I think we can start from the bottom first. So I'll give you a hint, okay? Is this working? Okay, number 10 is Abraham, okay? And it appears 235 times. So, any guess who is number 9? Joseph? Do I need to turn on? Okay, all right. Okay. Number 9 is Paul from the New Testament. Okay? Now, I think it'll be quite hard to guess these ones. So we'll just go on a few, right? If can you see if we can turn it on for me? Maybe I don't turn it on properly. Number eight is Joseph, so you're very close, okay? If you're looking at just the Old Testament, that's Joseph. Is it on? Okay. All right. Number seven is Solomon. And then number six? Okay, we'll stop here. All right. Now, from the five that is left, which one appeared the most in the Bible? Most times in the Bible. Jesus. Yes, that's right. Number one is Jesus. Okay. What about number two? Thank you. David, that's correct. Number three? Do I press the wrong this one? Big one. Doesn't seem to work. Okay. It's Aaron. Not this Aaron, but the other one, Moses' brother. It's still not working. All right, Jacob, and then Moses, and then David, and then Jesus. Okay? So I guess you can probably guess because today's passage talks about David. Okay? And it talks about David was anointed by Samuel. Okay? And so we want to look at this passage this morning because in this passage, we talk about God chose David. And for some reason, he rejected King Saul, and then he decided to choose David to become the king of Israel. So when we look at this passage today, I think it will help us to understand how God choose or choose people. And at the moment, our church is searching for an English pastor. Okay? How we search for an English pastor, how different is that from God choosing a king for Israel? Or we are searching for elders and deacons. Okay? And how is that different from God choosing David to be the king? And I think if we go on to today's passage is from nobody to somebody. And as you're probably quite familiar with the story of King David, he did not start off as a king. He wasn't born in a palace. So he was basically nobody. He was a little shepherd boy. And but then gradually he became the king of Israel. First the king of Judah, and then later on become the king of the whole of Israel. So there's a time or there's a period of time where he has gone through lots of ups and downs and difficulties and so on before he actually got to where he was. But even when he became king, his life it was not smooth from then on. He still faced a lot of difficulties, right? And he actually have made mistake himself. He has sinned. He committed adultery with someone's wife, and then he killed the husband, and so on. And then his son rebelled against him, and then he had to leave, and so on. So there's a lot of up and down in David's life. So David is definitely not a perfect person, but why did God choose him? And why did God rejected King Saul? So we want to look at this passage today. Hopefully, when we reflect on it, we can think about how God sees people, and also maybe God will open our eyes to see people in God's way as well, and not just looking at from the appearance, but also look deep down from underneath as well. Okay, if we go back to the Bible passage, if you have the Bible or you have your phone, you're welcome to follow it with your Bible as well. The first verse tell us that the Lord told Samuel that he's to go to Bethlehem to because one of the sons of Jesse has been chosen by God to be the king to succeed King Saul. He said he has rejected King Saul as the king of Israel. Now, so why did God actually reject King Saul? If you think about the things that King Saul has done, what did he do that deserved that rejection from God? Can you think about the story about King Saul? He's the first king of Israel, right? If you remember the history of the Israelite, God chosen Abraham, and then he had Isaac, and then he had Jacob, and then there was 12 sons, and then they stay in the Egypt, and then from Egypt they went to Canaan, and then they started to become a nation. First of all, it was led by the judges, and then they wanted a king, and then God gave them a king, and it's King Saul. So King Saul is the first king, okay? So why did God reject King Saul? Okay? So if we look at why God rejected King Saul, maybe it will help us to understand why God chose David as well. So we go back a little bit before chapter 16, from chapter 13, 14, and 15, you see the reason why, or some of the incident that happened, why God had actually rejected King Saul. First, the first incident was, there was a time when Samuel asked King Saul to wait for him to offer a sacrifice before they go into battle. And then King Saul waited for 7 days, and Samuel was supposed to come on that day, okay? And he hasn't arrived. And then so what did he do? He made the offering or the sacrifice himself. Now, is king supposed to make offering or do the sacrifice? Who are the ones who are supposed to do it? The priests, right? So King Saul are not supposed to do it. But why did he do it? Because he was worried that the people will leave, because the enemies are just around, right? So he felt pressure, and he couldn't wait anymore. And then so he made the offering, and so he's getting ready to war. And then Samuel arrived, and he said, "What have you done? Okay, you have done a foolish thing. Okay, you have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you." So because of this disobedience, or rejecting, or not obeying God's command, God had one of the reasons why God had rejected King Saul as well. And then right there and then, Samuel told Saul that the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and will appoint him to be the ruler of the people. So this is not the only incident where King Saul disobeyed God. And there was another issue that has disappointed God as well. In chapter 15, after he had a success in a battle, and then he left without Samuel, and then Samuel looked for him. And then when Samuel was looking for him, then he found him that he actually went and set up a monument in his own honor. So when he win the battle, he take all the honor and glory to himself, and not to give the honor and glory back to God. So that is another incident where you can see the motivation or the way that he do things. He's not doing it for God, he's not doing it for the people, but he's doing it for himself. And very often, that actually is a symptom of not very good leader. If they are self-seeking, self-centered, and always thinking about themselves or their own glory and own benefit, okay? And this is the second thing that I've noticed in there. And then the third one here is when the Israelites had a battle with the Amalekites, and God had told them to completely destroy the enemy, okay? Completely destroy everything, the animals, the people, and everything. But King Saul left the animals and saved the good things, thinking he can actually keep the good things for himself. And then when Samuel arrived and said, "What have you done? God told you to destroy all the animals." And he said, "Oh, no, I'm saving it to make a sacrifice to God. So these are for God, not for myself." So he was making an excuse and doing that, right? And then Samuel told him that the Lord delights in burnt offering and sacrifice as much as in obeying the law. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hear is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the God, the Lord, he has rejected you as king. So I just picked only three. There's more incident in the Bible how King Saul has done things not the way that God wants him to. But this three incident was immediately before God had chosen King David. So he tells us that God had rejected him because it was King Saul who rejected God's command, first of all. Even though we are not talking about King Saul today, but I think there's a lesson here we can learn. Is there a command from the Bible that we know very clearly spell out to us, but we still choose to disobey, like what King Saul had done? Sometimes for our own benefit, our own desire, or just to want do the things that we wanted to do, or get some instant gratification, and then we blatantly disobey God, or use many excuses like King Saul said, "Oh no, I kept it, it's for you." But God see through all those things, right? So I think this is something that if God rejected King Saul because of that, the person that God chose afterwards must have some characters and quality that is opposite to those things. Okay, that's the reason why we want to go back and look at, first of all, the reason. The reason my battery is not very good, so hopefully it will last. Okay, so the first thing we want to see is why God had rejected King Saul. And then two other things I want to see today is then how did God show Samuel how to choose King David afterwards? And also, what is the reason why God chose King David? Okay, so those are the three main things that we want to look at. So we saw how God have decided to reject King Saul, and from that we have got a simple idea, I guess, why God will choose King David to replace him. Okay. So if we follow on, the Samuel told him that if I'm going to anoint King David to be the king, Saul will come up after me and kill me. So the Lord assured Samuel that he will show him how to do it. Okay, so he was showing Samuel step by step how to find the right person. Okay, so first of all, he told Samuel that he's one of the sons of Jesse, and he's at Bethlehem, okay? And so he didn't tell him who or which one of the sons of the Jesse. He just said one of the sons and is the son of Jesse, okay? And so Samuel obey God and follow his instruction, and he went to Bethlehem and bringing a sacrifice. And then he went to Jesse and invite him and his sons to the sacrifice. So from doing that, yeah, hopefully he will be able to see which one of the sons that God had chosen. And so when the time comes, he consecrated Jesse and his sons, and then he went in. This is very... Okay, all right. So Jesse had asked all his sons one by one to come forward, okay, to see. And then the first one, the eldest one, Eliab, and then when Samuel saw him, he said, "Oh, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord, because his appearance seems to be like probably very tall and strong like Aaron, okay? So first of all, straight away, then Samuel will think that this is the one that God is going to be choosing as the king. But then the Lord told him, no, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him, okay? The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Okay, I think this is a very important point here for us to consider. Very often we look at people's appearance. We consider their background, their education, their wealth. Very often that's how the world sees us, right? The clothes we wear, the way we look, and even what kind of cars you drive or what suburbs you live, and they will judge you or they look at you from depending on all those things that the outward things or the appearance that people look at. But God told Samuel that he doesn't look at those things. He looked at the people's heart. I remember when I was in Sydney many, many years ago, I knew a brother. He actually works in a factory. And in a factory, he is actually a cleaner. So he's not very professional. He's not earning a lot of money. But he said he's quite happy with his job because as a cleaner, he's got a storeroom where he can go to the storeroom. And during the break, he can read his Bible. And he told me he after he became a Christian, or actually during the way when he was becoming a Christian, actually he read through the whole Bible during those time. And he's a very humble kind of guy. And gradually he became more mature spiritually as well. And then there was a time comes for the election for deacons at the church. Okay. And the church had actually elected him as a deacon. And when I look at this example, I said, wow, this is a very good example because the church did not sort of ignore him because he's just a cleaner, okay? Because he's not very rich or very educated. In fact, he's a refugee from Vietnam, okay, originally. But he became a mature Christian and people recognized that and then elected him. So I come to think of it, in our church or in the people around us, very often people look at us and say, because maybe, say for example, when I came to Australia, my English is not very good, and so I have an accent and I can't speak very good English and so on. I can see that sometimes it's a disadvantage, even when I go to a job interview, okay? And I try to apply for certain things. So, but if we use God's way of choosing, we should not just stop at the appearance. Of course, those are important. Like if you are going to search for an English pastor, of course, we not want him to have some kind of qualification and ability to lead and teach and so on. But we should not just look at all those external things. We also need to look at the heart, look at the heart of ministry. In fact, if we look at the Bible, when we talk about leaders, leaders are servants. Whether a person can lead is how well he wants to serve others. Okay? So not only that, we need to obey God, the opposite of what King Saul was doing was disobedient. We need to obey God, but as well as we need to have a heart we really want to serve as well. So we saw how Jesse brought his second son, his first son, and fourth, and so on. All seven of them went through in front of Samuel. Now the first time Samuel thought that the eldest son was to be chosen. But then the second and the fourth, Samuel had learned the lesson. He did not have to wait for God to tell him. He straight away he said, no, God did not choose this one, did not choose this one, did not choose this one. So sometimes from this example here, I think we need to learn to listen to God as well. God has shown Samuel how he is to choose the right king. And he learned it. And then straight away he can discern whether the other sons are the right one. Now, how do we discern whether these people who apply for the pastor position is the right person? Or when we are to choose the deacons or the elders for the church, how do we discern whether the person have those qualities? How? I think first of all, we have to listen to God, just like Samuel listened to God first, right? And listen to God also means we have to ask and we have to pray. And so I really strongly encourage each one of us to come together to pray, to ask God to help us to learn how to discern who is the right English pastor for our congregation, who are the right people to lead our church, the deacons and the elders, or even worship leaders or junior Sunday school teacher or the small group leaders and so on. Because we do not choose people just because we are good friends or we are related or because he's very funny or humorous or because we like him, you know, we do things together. We need to look at those things that God looks at. And the first thing we need to do is to pray together. I think Eden have just mentioned already, this coming Tuesday, we are going to have our English prayer meeting. And I strongly encourage each one of us to come together to pray and really seek God, to ask God to help us to discern, to wait on him, okay? And waiting sometimes is hard, okay? One of the mistakes that King Saul made was he did not wait, right? Instead of waiting, he rushed and just make the decision himself and make the offering, which was not God commanded him to do. So sometimes waiting is important. Don't rush, but willing to wait and ask God to show us clearly his decision, okay? So from this example here, we saw how God has chose. So Samuel asked, are these all your sons? No, after all, seven of them went in front of Samuel, and then Samuel rejected all of them. Then Jesse said, there is still the youngest. He is tending the sheep. Okay, so now we know more about David now. First of all, he's Jesse's son. Second, he was born in Bethlehem. Now we know that he has seven brothers, and he is the youngest. And what is his job? What is his job? He's looking after the sheep, okay? So probably this is the job that nobody else wants to do. No, none of the other brothers want to do, so he has to do it. And then when it comes to the sacrifice, when Samuel invites all the sons to and the family of Jesse to come together, Jesse even didn't bother to actually ask him to come along. He forgot about him altogether. Right, so imagine you are that youngest son. How would you feel, right? I mean, in the Chinese culture, you are the youngest. You're probably, you know, get taken care of, and the special, you know, everyone will look after you, make sure you know you are protected and so on. But looks like David's situation is not the same. Okay, now, and I remember when I was young in our church, there was I used to go to the Salvation Army when I was in Hong Kong, long time ago. And there was they actually was going to choose people to form a choir. And the choir is to go to America to have a tour. So when that news came along, so the pastor or the captain, they call it captain, okay? The captain of the church or the pastor of the church straight away called my dad and said, they're going to choose. So they have asked my eldest brother to go and try out to see whether he can. But then they find out that they only want people under 12 years old. Because under 12 years old in those days, they can buy cheaper airfare, right? So they don't want to, they want to just keep it under 12 years old. So my brother was too old, so he was kind of, you know, rejected. Then the captain or the pastor say, "Oh, you got a daughter, my older sister, who is in the middle, and she was under 12 years old at that time." So they said, "Why don't you ask her to come along and try out?" So they asked my sister to go. But then my sister was not 12 years old yet. But then by the time that they're going to go over to America, she's going to be 12 years old. So they rejected her again. So I was the last one. I was the youngest. And then they asked me to try out. And then I did got in, and I was the youngest among the eight people that have chosen to go to America. Every time when I look back at that incident, I sometimes think, you know, as the youngest, sometimes we get overlooked and get neglected or ignored. But at the end, it's not what the other people see you, it's what God have actually chosen, you know, already. So at the end, I actually did get to go to America and had a good time, you know, joining the choir and singing and so on. So sometimes I think God have very interestingly, He will choose people not the way that we choose, and also He will choose people that are like maybe have a humble kind of beginning or things that people may neglect or don't look up to, but God can actually turn those people and change them and use them. Okay, in fact, because of that incident, those many incidents, I think I had kind of slowly developed a trust in God as well, and I think this is the same with David. Okay, so we know that he's the youngest. And then they sent him in, okay? And then what they found is he was growing with health, okay? And have a fine appearance and a handsome features. Now, what did God said to Samuel before? Don't look at what? Don't look at the appearance, right? Now he's talking about he's got a fine appearance. What's going on here? So is that a contradiction? You know, don't look at the appearance, but then David's got to find the appearance. Okay. Now, when we talk about the appearance, it's not just about the look. Okay. Having a good look doesn't disqualify you to become a good leader, as well. This is just the way that you are. God has created each one of us differently. Okay. We just have to be willing to accept the way that we are. We don't need to compare ourselves to other people. Because when we try to compare with other people, sometimes we will think that they are better in certain way, and then someone else is better in certain way, and then we will get disappointed or think that we are not good enough, okay? But if we do not look at just what other people compare to us, you just look at what God has given us and use those things that God has given to us faithfully, then we will be doing the things that God wants us to do. So I think in the Bible, it tells us that even though David got a good appearance, doesn't mean that he's disqualified, but he was chosen because he was faithful, tending, looking after the sheep that was given to him. In the Bible, it says, if you are faithful in small things, you will be given greater responsibility in the future. It takes time. You may not become the leader straight away, but as you continue to grow, you continue to learn, God will use us one day. So I hope that for those of us who are younger in our congregation, don't try to be someone else, okay? Just be the person that God has created you to be. And then accept the way that you are, but be faithful in the things that God has given you to do, and try to work out what God wants to do in your life, okay? And then that way, you will fulfill God's purpose in your life as well, okay? So, what happened here? Can we go back? Yeah. Now, So then the Lord said to Samuel, rise and anoint him. This is the one. Okay, so God have indicated to Samuel, this is the one. And then from that day onward, after he anointed the oil on David, from that day onward, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Okay? When God had chosen David, he has some good quality, obviously. But at the same time, he still needs the Holy Spirit and the power from God for him to be able to fulfill the task that is going to be given to him. He did not just by his own natural ability to fulfill the task as a king. God have given him the Holy Spirit. Now, for us to serve in the church sometimes, we all have natural ability, okay? There are people who can play the piano, but not necessarily can become a pianist to lead worship in the church. There are people who can sing very well, but they may not be suitable to be a worship leader, to lead brother and sister to worship God together. We require and empower by the Holy Spirit. So that is the reason why we need to pray and always trust in God to give us that strength to do the things that God wants us to do. Last Sunday is the Sunday of Pentecost. I don't know whether you know that or not. Okay, last Sunday was the week of the day of Pentecost, and the Pentecost is to remember that the Holy Spirit had come, and has given us the strength to serve and to minister, and most importantly, to witness for God. Sometimes we don't know how to share the gospel with others. Sometimes we have fear, or we don't know what to say, or sometimes when a new person comes into the church, we don't know how to talk to them. God has already given us the Holy Spirit, okay? And if we trust in Him, He will guide us. Is not what we can do ourselves, is whether we are willing. When we are willing, the Holy Spirit can use us and help us to strengthen us to do the things. So in Samuel's case, we can see that God has chosen David and let him become the king, okay? Sorry. I was looking at the old version. Chose David because he's got some potential in him, okay? But at the same time, when God chose David, it's not because he has done anything. He hasn't done anything yet. God already chose him. In fact, if you look at this passage from verse 1 to verse 13, the name David never mentioned until the very end after God have anointed him. Or before, all the times that appear, it was before he was used the pronoun, him or he, to describe David. It's only when God have actually chose him, anointed him, then the name David actually came out. I think the writer actually intentionally do that, to show us that God chose David is because of God's grace, not because of who he is. In fact, I don't know whether you know the meaning of the name David. Do anyone know? The name David actually means beloved or the beloved by God. Okay, so it is God's love that have drive him to choose David. It's not because of all these very good quality. And in fact, as I said before, throughout David's life, he made a lot of mistakes, but God still continued to use him. One of the reasons is because David always repent and turn back to God. If you look at Psalm 51, half of the Psalms in the Bible is written by David, if you look at the heading in the Psalms, right? In Psalm 51, It was written after King David was told that he actually had sinned and God know that he has committed adultery. And so he actually repented and wrote Psalm 51. We will make mistakes in our life. Even our leaders make mistakes. But we need to learn to be able to acknowledge our mistakes, our sins, and repent and turn back to God. And when we do that, God actually promised that through Jesus' blood on the cross, that we can be forgiven. And so don't because of sometimes we make mistakes, we think that we are totally disqualified to serve God. But if we are willing to make mistakes and repent, God promises that we will be forgiven. So this is one of the things that a very important quality of a leader is willing to acknowledge our mistakes and also to repent or to apologize and to turn again. Another very good quality of David is when he became a king, he's the one that who actually initiated want to build a temple for God. Okay, because before that, they were actually serving God or worshiping God in tents in the tabernacle, and then David said, "Well, I live in a palace, God live in a tent. That doesn't make sense." So he wants to build a temple for God, and then so he went to Nathan, the prophet Nathan, and then Nathan said, "Oh, go, that's a good idea. Go ahead." But then God said, "No, you are not to build the temple. But because you have such a heart for me," he said, "I promise that I'll build your kingdom." David didn't get to build the temple for God, but God said to David, "I will build your kingdom, and you have an everlasting kingdom. Your kingdom will last forever." So sometimes when we think that we are doing something for God, or we sacrifice something, or making an offering, in fact, it's the way that God wants to bless us in return. Don't think that we are actually losing something by sacrificing or try to do something for God. But in fact, it's the other way around. When God sees our hearts that we want to serve Him, to offer to Him or to or do anything for Him, in return, God actually will bless us. And this is a promise that God has given to David. And if we look at the okay, it doesn't matter. That promise, how did it come to fruition? Is through Jesus. If you look at the gospel, if you look at the beginning, it was this, Jesus was described as the son of David. Okay, so David actually is the ancestor of Jesus. And as beginning, I said, God very often choose somebody with a humble beginning, like humble shepherd boy David, to become a king. And then when King David become a king, he actually said to God, "You are my shepherd." That is in Psalm 23. And then from then on, he's actually worshiping God as his king. So even though he's a king himself, he acknowledged God as his king. And then God has promised that from David's descendant, there will be a king, and that king will last forever. And when Jesus was born, he was also had a very humble beginning. He was born in Bethlehem, in a manger, where they don't have a room for him. And then he was a son of a carpenter. Now, I know today carpenter is a very good profession. It's not like those days. But in those days, I guess carpenter is not a very important profession. He's quite humble. So he was a son of a carpenter. And he actually grew up in Nazareth in Galilee, which is sort of like way outside the Jerusalem area. It's sort of far, far away. So it's sort of like today they live in, you know, I don't know if I say something wrong, may upset someone. Yeah, but basically they're definitely not living in Turek, okay? So you can see that Jesus had a very, very humble beginning, okay? But God has chosen him, and he was obedient to God by willing to go up to the cross and die for us and shed his blood. And then he fulfilled God's redemption plan for us. So today, no matter where we are at the moment, you can ask God to help us to open our eyes so that when we see ourselves or when we see others, we have a similar kind of attitude or the way that to look at other people. Not just look at their outward appearance, but also look at their hearts. And also, in order to be able to use by God, we do have to receive the Holy Spirit. We do need to surrender our life to God. And we do need to acknowledge and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then our life can become from nobody to somebody. Because of that, we can become children of God. We have an eternal life, an eternal inheritance. Okay? So I don't know whether any one of you among here this morning, have you ever totally committed your life to God? Have you received the Holy Spirit in your life? Have you repented and turned away from the sins that have bothered you before, but now willing to live a new life with Christ? If you're willing, all we have to do is to say yes to Jesus. Say, please come into my life. Yes, people look at me from the outside. Sometimes they judge me, or they ignore me, or they do not see me as important. But God looks at our heart. If we are humble enough or willing, we can come before him. He can fill us with his Holy Spirit, and he can transform our life. A life that is abundant. A life that can serve God, just like King David. He started off as a shepherd boy, but he became a king. And the same for us. We do not necessarily will become a king, but we can be children of God, sons and daughters of God, and which is such a blessing and such a gift and blessing to us. So I invite you to bow your head this morning. And as we pray, I invite you, if you want to, you can say in your heart to follow me, to say in your heart, to ask God to come into your life, come into your heart, to lead you and to be your Lord and Savior. Can we all bow our head and close our eyes? Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we look at the life of David, we know that you did not just look at his outward appearance. You see deep down in his heart how he longed to serve you, how he wanted to honor you. He even wanted to build a temple for you. Even none of these things had happened before he has done any of these things. You have chosen him because you love him. Today we know that you have chosen us because, not because of the things that we've done, not because we are a good person or we have done all the good things in our life, but because of your grace and your love for us that you have chosen us. And also you have sent Jesus to come and to die on the cross for us so that our sins can be forgiven. We know that we cannot earn this, we don't deserve this, but you have given to us as a gift. So this morning, as we come before you, we ask that once again you remind us of this wonderful love that you have for us, so that our life is going to be built not by our own hands, our own ability, or whatever, but it's because of your love and your redemption and your promise. We know that we have a hope and have a future. So we come before you now. We want to open our eyes and see your grace and see your loving arm reaching out to us. And we want to open our hearts and arms to receive your love and your grace as well. And if you are willing, you can say to Jesus, to our Lord, thank you, Jesus, for love me and choose me just the way I am. Not because I am anything special or better, but because of your love. So I want to receive your love now, receive your gift of grace now, and to become your children. Please forgive my sins and give me your Holy Spirit. Give me your strength so that I can live day by day with you, with your presence, with your ability and strength to do the things that you want us to do. And when we make mistakes, when I make a mistake, please help me to acknowledge it and repent, and we know that you will forgive us. Thank you for this promise, and help us to be obedient children for you, to follow you the rest of our lives. Because we pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're going to have a response song? Yeah? I said response song, yeah?
Thank you, Reverend Colin, for that message. So many things that we can learn from the story of David and how he was chosen. Can I ask you all to stand? And we'll see.